Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my good colleague, Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London, significantly. We're going to speak at the BBC, but we begin with the Republican Party and the Heritage Foundation and decisions made by the director of the Heritage Foundation, Mr. Roberts, in these last days that are puzzling about decisions about the whole of the party being made by people watching this brouhaha. Joe takes us to the 20th century, to a challenge to the party now in the ruling coalition in Germany, the CDU-CSU. But once upon a time, the CDU-CSU was threatened and puzzling what to do with the fringe right in the 20th century, which you can shorthand as neo-Nazi. That was then, but there's a lesson here that Joe's found in his most recent column at the Wall Street Journal. Joe, a very good evening to you. What did we learn? What can we learn from the way that the CDU-CSU handled the threat of being accused of being unacceptable, fringe right, neo-Nazi? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. Well, I mean, I think that the big issue that American conservatives are grappling with at the moment is that there does appear to be a radical fringe developing that is kind of the barbarians who are starting to bang on the rightward gate of the conservative movement. I mean, the controversy in the U.S. in the past week or so is concerned an interview in late October that podcaster Tucker Carlson did with a dude named Nick Fuentes, who espouses a lot of really vile, racist, anti-Semitic, misogynistic views. And there's a concern about, what kind of following or movement that might represent out in the broader country, and what relationship that should have to the mainstream conservative movement. And I think that Kevin Roberts, the president of the Heritage Foundation, stumbled into this in exactly the wrong way when his first response was to suggest basically, we're not going to have any enemies on the right, and so we're not going to engage in what he called, quote unquote, cancel culture to try to suppress any of this. And I think that, you can look for a better example to Germany, which does have a history of grappling with the problem of neo-Nazi movements in the across the latter half of the 20th century. And their conservative parties really had to grapple with this issue, particularly in the 80s. This view was really articulated by Franz Josef Strauss, who was the founder and a longtime leader of the Christian Social Union, the CSU, which is the conservative party in Bavaria, and the sister of the Christian Democratic Union, which is the conservative party in the rest of the country. And that principle was basically, we cannot allow any legitimate political democratic party to the right of us. Now, what he meant by that is the mainstream conservatism, in that case, the mainstream conservative parties, the CDU and the CSU, should leave room within them for any legitimate conservative position. So if you favor a very restrictive immigration policy, there should be room for you in the mainstream conservative party. If you favor very conservative social policies, such as opposition to abortion or other things, there should be room for you in the conservative party. The point is, you should never put voters in the position of having to elect a radical fringe in order to get sensible conservative policies. So the what Strauss and the CSU and the CDU were trying to do was not to co-opt the neo-Nazi radical elements that were springing up in particular in the 70s and 80s. The point was not to try to fold these people into the party or give their leaders prominent positions as rewards for not challenging the CDU or the CSU. It was the reverse. The point was to squeeze them out by saying to voters, okay, if you have a legitimate concern about immigration policy or about economic policy or about social policy, and if you want a conservative view on those, we will give that to you. So there is no legitimate reason for you to vote for this other party. And that worked in Germany right up until around 2015 when Angela Merkel, a generation or two after Franz Josef Strauss, started shifting the conservative party to the center. She allowed in a big, very controversial wave of migrants. And all of a sudden, it was when the conservative movement abandoned that principle that you saw the rise of the alternative for Germany, the AfD party on the right, which is still with us today. But, I think that the point that the Germans knew up until about 2015 is do not accommodate the crazy people. Don't try to bring them in. You can accommodate the people who might, the reasonable people who might otherwise feel that they need to support this party to achieve some other policy end. But you can have enemies on the right. Those don't need to be all of your voters, but it should be the extremists.
AfD is our 21st century version of unacceptable politics in most instances. AfD now is hard pressing the CDU-CSU ruling coalition, which is joined with the socialists as well. I think your lesson applies right now, Joe, not just to the 20th century, because the AfD is finding great success in campaigning in what was East Germany. But the message, the cultural message, I'm told, is spreading to West Germany. So CDU-CSU has the same fight. Do you believe this is a constant theme that we're going to see in France and Britain and Italy, the fringe right encroaching on the success of the conservatives?
Well, it's kind of interesting to compare Germany to a bunch of other countries in Europe, because although we talk a lot about the AfD now, that phenomenon arose in Germany much later than equivalent insurgent right movements in places like France or the Netherlands or even Italy. Jean-Marie Le Pen was in a presidential runoff for the far right sort of national identitarian party in France as early as 2002. In Germany, you only had the AfD starting to gain ground after 2015. And I think it's because for a long time until Angela Merkel, conservative politicians in Germany had thought they had a real obligation to make sure that the CDU and the CSU were always the parties that were most to the right politically, precisely so that you could squeeze out any potential for a neo-Nazi element. And what has happened since Merkel abandoned that approach is that the AfD is a really troubling development, because there are leaders within the party who espouse views that are really dangerous, that you could potentially brand as sympathetic to Nazism or potentially even neo-Nazi. So there is that element within the leadership of the party. Millions of Germans are not neo-Nazis, but they are voting for the AfD because that became the only party that you could vote for if you wanted a conservative approach to the immigration issue. So this is an example of how the mainstream conservative party got itself into trouble by not offering that. Now, Chancellor Friedrich Merz, who is a Christian Democrat, seems to understand this. And so he has been trying to carve out a much more conservative policy than Angela Merkel had, again, in an attempt to say to voters, okay, we will give you legitimate conservative positions on legitimate political issues. You do not need to vote for the AFD in order to get that. But he's starting from way behind because, you know, it took a long time for the conservatives to start doing this. And the AFD has grown, at the same time. So I think the challenge for conservatives in America is to, you know, figure out how you can be a broad tent, but understand that that does not mean that you have to allow in the crazies.
Joseph Sternberg is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the column Political Economics. He's based in London. We're turning to the large story of the BBC and deliberately unacceptable editing with regard to the President of the United States. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.